Development Officer of Broughton Hotels, a boutique hotel management company. Checkout California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Brad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Hello.
Hello, California.
Aloha. It's good to be back. Been on vacation for a while, just making it back.
And he's still in on island time.
So. I am. So, definitely, you know, on island time.
That's okay. I think he's doing it to tease the rest of us that weren't able to leave. So,
thank you for joining us on Checkout California today. We've got two very special guests. We've got Mr. Robert Rausch, the hotel guru from San Diego, California. You've got almost 20 hotels between three states in the western U.S., and we've been friends for 25-plus years. And we make the circuit on the conferences. You were a sponsor and part of my conference this year, Click. And then we've also got Mr. Stephen Seff.
You're having it again this year, aren't you?
No, next year.
Oh,
March 8th.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, next year.
2018.
Correct.
And where are you having it?
We're having it at the Hilton Irvine Orange County Airport. And, same locale.
And since we're on it, how do people find out about it?
You can go to CLIconference.com. Registration is open, and we're looking forward to having a second great year focused on California hotel investment. And it's a great opportunity not only for our industry to get together, but for people that are interested in getting into the hotel side of investments.
Yeah, and you know, we've all been kind of in this industry for oodles of years and then some. This conference is very unique in that it's focused solely on California hospitality, correct?
Correct.
And it's a one-day conference. It's awesome. It sold out the first year out of the chute, so you do not want to miss it in 2018 if you're anywhere. We had people flying in. Where did they come from? Australia?
No, Alaska, Alaska. New York, Florida.
It was one A or the other.
Yeah, it was a day. It was a day. Absolutely.
Close. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Wow. So. I've been living in the United States too long. I forgot my geography. I got Australia and Alaska mixed up.
What country is the Panama Canal in? There you go. So you
forgot. I'm good. Okay.
You're good.
Okay. All right. And it's just celebrated a birthday, right?
Exactly.
Yes, two for two. All right. Who else do we have in
here? We've got another great friend of mine, Stephen Seff. We go back close to 20 years at this point. Stephen is the principal and the power behind Crew Real Estate Group.
Awesome.
And they own and operate hotels throughout the United States. They've got some technology-based companies that they also run. And
given what we were talking about.
He is also like the all-time grad from the Collins Hotel School. So, for all of you that want to go to a great program, now Bob teaches over at ASU and also at San Marcos College, and Steve headed up the...
You're just plugging all kinds of stuff.
He is. He's
absolutely
on fire right now.
Including Collins, and that happened to have been one of the sponsors
of Click. Click.
Well. Yeah, see, it all circles back.
So, welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us, guys.
This is awesome. So, Robert, tell us about your company first, and I know that you have some exciting news about some new properties that just came online, I think, right?
We actually did a takeover yesterday in Carlsbad, great hotel, Carlsbad by the Sea. We own and manage hotels, and we're very excited about each addition, but we are very careful to have the right hotel. So this is a boutique hotel in Carlsbad, about a mile from the ocean. Ideal.
I live in San Clemente. That's a pretty cool location. How did you find yourself? I mean, have you always been involved in hotels? Did you purposely follow that route, or did you come upon it?
You know, Rad, I started out as a banquet dishwasher 43 years ago, and so now that I'm considered the best busboy in our entire company.
I'm going to make a note of that in case we have any need.
I've come a long way. I've been in the business three oodles. You guys were only in one oodle.
Oh, you've been in more oodles than we have.
Absolutely.
Busboy.
Busboy, yeah, put him down for that.
I'm a good busboy, not just a busboy.
Actually, I think he needs to head that effort if you're going to put that in. Okay, so but now, the reason I was asking Robert is it's always curious for me how people find either their passion or where they end up spending a lot of their life. And in some cases, it's nowhere where you started.
Well, and that's a great question. I started, I was going to be an optometrist. That didn't work out too well because the sciences and the math courses at the college level are pretty competitive. And so I decided to become an English major.
Right.
And I'm not sure why, although I do enjoy writing. It just morphed from being a really good dishwasher and then busboy.
Mm-hmm.
I just decided hotels was my thing. I felt a passion to serve,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that the people who I was working for didn't have much experience.
Right.
I could climb the ladder quickly, and it worked.
That's awesome. And I'm assuming, were you doing this while you were going to, like, school for something else?
Yes. I was I was an English major at the University of Illinois, and then I ended up going to hotel school.
School.
So, I mean, that's the way it went.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, that's a great school, by the way. And I think it's interesting because I know what else you are involved in, like with your blog and with your podcast and doing a lot of writing and teaching. I think it's interesting that part of your soul or that part of your personality is also something that is you are still involved in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny.
I'm still with it.
Very cool. And what do you look for? Like, I mean, when you're looking and you kind of presented the idea here to me is certain unique properties, things that have special offerings or something that draws you to. So what draws you to properties? How do you filter properties?
Well, I think,
make decisions?
Brad, the simple answer is a great brand is something that's important. And if you don't have a great brand, you have to have a great story so you can create your own brand. And whether that's a boutique hotel or something that's independent, you can do it either way, but you have to have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And what you don't want is what I call a bad brand or a throwaway brand where you're paying all these fees to some company and they really give you nothing but a few reservations in return for your lots of money.
And there's a lot of that out there.
There is.
Yeah. So I know that the word great has become almost as generic as cola these days. So what to you makes for a great brand?
Well, first of all, driving market share.
Okay.
And the guest really wants to be part of an awards program, an honors program, so that when they check in to a hotel, they're getting some long-term benefit.
Right.
And if that program is not robust and reservations aren't coming in every day in abundance, you don't have a great brand.
Right.
And if you're independent, then you've got to fight for market share by creating your own brand. And so you may be reliant on what is the arch enemy of the brands, which is the online travel agencies or OTAs. But the truth of the matter is, whatever it takes to fill your hotel, you then have to decide, of course, if you're paying too much for each reservation.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to be more of a science.
Well, and the industry has changed, right? I mean, that involvement of the internet as far as booking or offerings, selections, what have you, has kind of almost morphed the industry into multiple possibilities of housing or hospitality resources, right? I mean, I remember I had a reunion just recently in Pasadena for my undergraduate that I went to for an economics degree. Ironically, I'm doing interior design, but I started on economics, so I'm very curious about how people get there, right?
But and we need Steve's story too.
Right,
he got in the industry soon as well. But it's another interesting one. It's one of the things I love about this.
Well, that's
industry.
That's what really makes these, you know, sort of. It's like what's unique about you. It's like your story, right? We talk about brand as story, but you are the first story that I'm interested in here. Is how you found yourself doing this. But I looked online for housing for a hotel stay in Pasadena, three nights, whatever. And to be honest, it was really interesting. I got everything from the Westin, okay, and all the way down to a company that basically just has these, you know, it's not an Airbnb. It's a company that has some residential units, one bedroom, two bedrooms, in the LA basin. Downtown LA, Hollywood Hills, Beverly Hills, Pasadena, and they're renting them out.
Right.
And it's funny because I look at the pictures and I'm filtering sort of the brand, and there is a presence and a brand and a consistency of look that's even in that kind of offering. So the internet is an interesting thing because I think it has kind of jolted our industry into there is no one size fits all. Right. And you know whether it's a boutique or it's a larger property, so
going with the brands, all
yeah. So these are sort of the trends that we'll come back and kind of maybe talk about. what you're seeing in the industry. And then, Steve, how did you find yourself doing what you're doing?
Oh, when I was younger, I loved the ocean, so I always thought I'd be an oceanographer. And then I took a science class, and I said, yeah, that's not going to work out. So we got a frustrated English major who was going to go down the path of fixing people's eyes. Well, but you still provide them things to see now, right?
So that's absolutely.
And then Steve, who basically wanted to be on a boat.
I wanted to be on a boat or under the water every day looking at dolphins or fish
you got a couple of scuba divers here in New York, too, so I understand.
Yeah. And I remember in seventh grade, I had to dissect my first frog, and I literally passed out. And I'm like, okay, so probably the whole science thing's not going to work out for me, so I might want to look at something else. So actually, my grandmother on my mom's side had a house in Bullhead City, and we went up there for my 14th birthday. And we were just kind of driving up on the Bullhead City side, the Arizona side, and kind of went over the little mountain there. And on the left side across the river is Laughlin. Mm-hmm. And so I saw all these beautiful hotel casinos with all these lights and everything. I'm like, wow, those are awesome.
Shiny.
Went inside, and all you hear the ding, 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 and everybody's like, woo, having a good time. I'm like, man, hotels, that's what I want to do. And I've been in the hotel business ever since.
I think he just did an ad for Laughlin. Didn't he?
I think
ding,
he did.
Ding,
I
ding,
think
ding,
he
ding,
did.
Yay.
The name is Checkout California, so hotels in California.
It's all right.
How many oodles, though? How many have you?
How many oodles? Yes, how many oodles do you have in the industry?
How many oodles?
Robert's cracking jokes there already.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the senior oodler, I think, on the show.
Yeah, you win. Yeah.
So that's awesome. And so how did you then proceed with that?
Yeah, so then from there, I got in the business and in the restaurant business first, and then I got into the bar business. And then when I went to school, I went to Cal Poly at the Collins College, great program, and got my first job over at the Sheraton at Fairplex. And I remember I had long hair, and my mentor, who was Gary Hamilton, said, you got to cut your hair. And I'm like, I ain't cutting my hair. 22-year-old punk at school. I'm like, yeah, they're going to be okay with me having long hair. And so I go have the interview and get a, guest service bailman, everything and anything. And he goes, yeah, so you're hired. I'm like, perfect. So I'm walking out thinking, he didn't even say anything about my hair. And he came up, running up to me, goes, oh, by the way, before you start, you got to cut your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man. I remember calling my professor at the time. I'm like, man, you're right. He goes, I'm always right.
That's a good mentor.
Yeah, and that was the first job. And then from there, I got a job with the CMT program, corporate management trainee, mm-hmm. over with Hilton. Hyatt down in San Diego at the Manchester.
Yeah, sure.
And I was blessed to be with them for 4.5 years. And typically, Hyatt's acronym is have your something there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I got to stay at the same hotel for 4.5 years. I got to go in the sales department and just kind of work myself in the whole operation of the hotel and sales department. And I was very successful there. And it was
pretty good property. That's a nice property.
It was a great run. We got to be there when Papa Doug was putting on the second building. So he was got the groundbreaking, and got to work with the NFL on the Super Bowl out there. Got to work with the baseball teams. I got to see the Yankees party in my hotel when they won the World Series. And it's been a great career, and that was a great first step. And Hyatt's, once you're, as a lot of my Hyatt colleagues say, once you have Hyatt in your blood, you're always blue blood, right?
It's funny about Hyatt. It's very true.
Yeah, it's very true.
It's like it's like you can never leave.
You're kind of stuck with that for the rest of your life.
Greg touched a little bit about what you're doing now. So what are you doing now?
So Crew Real Estate Group. We're based here in Costa Mesa, California. We have a number of hotels. We own, manage, and asset manage properties. We also do some receiverships for hotels across the United States. Super busy right now. It's been a good year.
This is a question for both you guys. Why do you think the industry is so hot? Industry is so hot right now.
Well, first of all, is it
just the economy? Is it?
People believe that travel is a birthright. And the growth is off the charts. And this is not just domestic travel. International travel is off the charts. The Chinese market is growing by 25% a year right now. It's incredible
numbers.
That's
crazy, yeah.
So that's one thing. And, of course, there's always the thought. I mean, people always say to me, oh, you have such a glamorous job. Yeah, right. I mean, we're washing dishes, bussing tables. I mean, it's not all fun and games.
Right.
But
changing beds and toilets, scrubbing.
Well, that too. Yeah. That too. Absolutely. But I think there's something about travel. Steve, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think, travel is, I still remember the very first trip my dad took me. It was the Griswolds going across country.
Going Wally up, World.
Yeah, going all the way up to the state of California to all the different national parks, and you know, me hitting my brother, my sister hitting me, and yelling, screaming, but having a great time. And then one night,
those are part of your fond memories.
Oh, absolutely, I remember all of it. And you know, and then the one night, you know, we'd get to stay at a hotel for one night because the rest of the time we would go camping. And those are memories that I'll never forget as long as I live. And you know, as you said, I think travel is just so important to so many people. Whether it's, you know, part that I love about the travel industry, the hotel industry in particular, is we make memories for people. People go to hotels, whether they get married, they get engaged, they have a date, they have reunions, they go for a conference, and they do something, and they will always remember and associate that grand event with a hotel. And that's what we get to do, and it's so much fun to actually have that impact on someone's life for the rest of their life, is to be able to sit there and go, hey, they had a great wedding, they had a great conference, they had whatever, maybe, you know, great first date, whatever it was, at this one hotel. And we get to do that. It's a pretty cool feeling. It's a great experience, and I absolutely love it.
See, now, that gets back to the conversations we always have on the show. It's in our DNA. It's that service. It's that welcoming. It's the hospitality factor. You've just heard it from everybody in this room, and that's the continuous thread that you get throughout this industry. You could be a doorman or a busboy or a valet one day, and you could be running a branded franchise hotel company in 20, 25 years. I mean, it's a, you know, it's an entrepreneurial field that, you know, gives back regularly to not only the public but the community at large.
We say it's a service industry. It really is being a service industry. The interesting thing is, I think I read somewhere about a year ago that somebody had evaluated, and my economics, you know, geekiness coming out, but evaluated the marginal rate of return on expenses spent on a range of different purchases, and the one item, the one purchase that actually had an increasing marginal rate of return over time was money spent on experiential. In fact, the irony was that over time, an experience is something that you in your own mind will shed the negative components of what may have happened, okay, and you will only remember the positive. You buy a car, it will depreciate. You buy a house, it will depreciate. If an experience expenditure actually has a rising rate of return, if you don't believe me, think of a bad relationship you once had and look down the road and think, do you still remember the
two ex-wives? Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, unless you're Greg here coming up. I'm sorry. Did I just burst your aloha moment there? Sorry.
He's depressed.
He's depressed now. Sorry. Got to go to the island again.
Where's the tequila?
But Paul's pointing toward tequila. He's got tequila and scotch there. But it is very true, and we is a great way of putting it, Steve, is we do help people have a reference, a place where they form memories. And so I think that will always be the case, guys, right? I mean, this industry will go through technological advancements and will change the style of architecture and, you know, heavenly bed or no heavenly bed or what have you. But I think at the core of it, that will always be the case, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Anything else that you guys can think of that will probably stand the test of time, regardless of what we look like, what we smell like as an industry? What? This show? This show will stand the test of time. Paul is playing.
Paul's giving his hand signals.
And if you don't believe me, come back 50 years from now, and I'll tell you I was right.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think the one thing that really has happened, Rad, is the art to science concept. This industry was an art.
Yeah.
It has become both an art and a science. So the art of it will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
The art of customer service,
mm-hmm.
real personal service. But today, technologically, a lot of changes have occurred.
Sure.
And whether it's managing distribution channels because you don't know where you're going to get your business from, you don't hang a sign on the side of the road that says vacancy anymore.
Right.
So those channels are much more scientific, and revenue management has become difficult when you're on the guest side, you see rates going up. Whether it doesn't matter if it's airfare or hotel rooms or a cruise ship, the rates start going up, $100, $200, $300 for the same room,
mm-hmm.
1 to 2, 3 days apart. So that's
the fluctuation is crazy.
It's not something that the guest really appreciates, but it's something that supply and demand creates.
So and that's an interesting way of putting it, is that it was an art – where you had the, you know, Mr. Whatever that was associated specifically with a signature property at a certain destination, and you went there every summer, and, you know, you kept going back, and then you had your own kids, and then you took them there. I mean, right. This is sort of a common story. And then we went into where the science came in, the streamlining, the back of house, the everything, the supply side of it. And I think we probably went a little bit, in some cases, went a little bit too far in that direction. And now we're coming back to a little bit more of a balance.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, The personalization is what we're coming back to, because we're realizing that maybe we pushed the envelope too far. Maybe we were hiring people who were really customer service oriented.
Right. Interesting.
Maybe they were smart on the finance, marketing, or operations side, but maybe they didn't realize that having a passion for service has to come first and foremost. And we are coming back to that now. And the personalization is little things that we may have talked about at lunch. For instance, the millennial or millennial mindset traveler who really wants the technology, wants to be texted and told, okay, here's your phone opening your hotel room. You don't need to talk to any of us. Mm-hmm. Here's a bunch of coupons. Here's some places to stay. If you need anything, text us and we'll be right there.
Right. But I guess the trick really is the integration, right? Is how do you integrate that? Is it really truly integrated with that profile customer or guest experience in mind, or are you just slapping it onto what you already have to say that I have it?
No, it's a fair question, and if it's not connected to your customer relationship management system, it doesn't work.
Right.
But you can test it. It's not a bad thing. And a real key is there are different travelers. There are travelers who want that personal touch. They want to go to the front desk and say, can you print me a map of how to get to the beach?
Right.
And there are others, they're going to use their phone.
Get out of my way. Right. I'll find my own way.
Exactly.
Okay. Speaking of which, we're going to get out of Paul's way so he can run an ad and take a break here. When we come back, Steve, I heard you saying, that's right. Maybe you could add a little bit to that too.
Sure.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
The Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
All right, back to Rod. And this guy, he's not letting the announcer do his job.
Yeah, okay. I'm about to invite the announcer to ask his question. You know, here's the baby boomer in the room, basically, that's saying, as a millennial Twitter user, right?
So, couple of us.
You know, it's a good thing he's not on camera.
Here's my question as I'm listening to this.
What's the question, Paul?
The question is, every brand chases youth. Every TV show prizes youthful audience more than they do an aging audience. And yet the aging audience has more money to spend.
Yep.
So in the quest of trying to be cool and hip and have apps and attract millennials, do you then turn off the people that really have the dough to go?
So both of you guys, do you agree with that assessment?
I do. I think, you know, with the millennials, they want all the new high-tech technology. They want all the fun little doodads that you can do, you not talk to anybody, not check in, go right to their room, you know, like you had said, just get all the coupons, whatever it may be, and just go off to the city and do what they want. Now, what do we try to do at hotels? We try to get as much revenues as we can, so incremental revenues. I want them to go to the bar. I want them to go to the restaurant. I want them to get room service. I want them to go to the spa. I want them to do, you know, if there's miniature golf or whatever it may be, do that. The millennials, you know, we it's hard to capture that revenue from them because if they're in San Francisco, Santa Monica, they're going to sit there and go, they go on their iPhone and just go, okay, well, you know, well, Yelp, what's the coolest restaurants to go to? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to those. So you lose those. Mm-hmm. But then when you talk with the baby boomers and you talk with the, you know, older clientele that have the client that have the money. You know, they'll pay the rate, but also they'll go to the bar and they'll drink the good scotch, they'll drink the good vodka, they'll go have a nice steak dinner, and they'll spend a lot of money at your hotel. They'll, as Craig said, they'll go to the spa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they will spend the money, and it's just a different experience for them. And I think it really goes back to what we were talking about before. It's just really having the customers, or having your staff that really has that passion, mm-hmm. to really be able to associate with both those clientels, because it's two totally different clientels.
But can you have both? That's my whole thing.
No, I'll add to that. Can you have both on the same property?
Right. I think the answer is yes.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
Steve is right on, and I think to Paul's point, we have to hire people who can read the guest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if the guest is wanting personal service that's non-technological, then we got to give it to them. Mm-hmm. If they want the tech and they really want us out of the way, I think that's fine. We mm-hmm. just have to be able to relate to it and move quickly.
So you ran through an interesting example while we were where you guys were having lunch, when I met you for lunch. Share that, because I think that's an interesting example of how to integrate that. Because a lot of people will say it's one-on-one customer service, and I said that to you. One-on-one customer service. Well, it's not one-on-one customer service when I cookie cutter it basically and serve it up to 10,000 people. So how do we draw the line between intrusion of privacy and actually welcome receipt by that guest of our specialized attention?
Right. It's a great question, and the answer that what we were talking about is one of the softwares that we use with Flip 2, where we get in touch with the guest before they arrive.
Yeah.
As soon as they make their reservation, we can determine whether or not they're going to invite their friends, post on Facebook that they're staying at my hotel, mm-hmm. or whether or not they're going to ignore technology.
Before they even get there.
Before they arrive, just after they made the reservation and before they arrive, they're communicating with their friends. Hey, you know, we're going to San Diego, we're going to stay at the Hotel Guru's hotel, or one of them. And I don't know at what point that guest says, you know what, we now have a couple of people who want to go and they want to make sure they can negotiate rates. We actually have software through Flip 2 where we can communicate before, during, and after their trip.
Yeah.
Which is
critical, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Once they book their stay, it starts there, and it follows throughout the stay and post-stay. Do you get that Yelp review or something else? And even beyond, you let them know, hey, your anniversary's coming up again. You know, we were really glad to have you here last year or earlier this year. We've got a special coming up. You know, you can take this as far as you want. And Bronton Hotels, we're doing a ground up in Menlo Park.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we'll have an iPad or an iPad-like device, and that's their electronic concierge, and they can do everything right there. So, I mean, I got Facebook right down the street. You know, we've got in the middle of Silicon Valley. So,
well, and we talked about this when your GM that's going to be taking there, Weston, right?
Right.
Was here as our guest last time. I just sort of to be a disruptor, I said, okay, so you're in the middle of Silicon Valley, and you got a hotel.
Yeah.
Is it a must that it has to be technologically completely dialed in with the latest thing that just, you know, is in the R&D department at Apple or whatever? And we actually came to the conclusion that, I think, to what Robert is saying, is that there's an appropriate way to do that. And there may be even times on that property where you basically literally have, and you know, I don't know, you send out an EMP pulse or something, and like for 2 hours there's no Wi-Fi signal or something.
Block it out.
But and that actually might be appreciated by people that maybe willing to pay money.
When they're at our restaurant bars.
I do a lot of spas, and so I said, look, I never thought I'd wake up one day and realize that I could charge people for silence and disconnection. And I had an example of that in Pasadena when I was there a couple weeks ago, where I walked into this juice bar, and they actually had a sign that says, "There is no Wi-Fi. Talk to somebody."
That's awesome.
I think that's great.
And we say, "Oh, it's great," but it's actually a differentiator, right? It's a brand differentiator. Now the funny thing is that a lot of people were taking pictures of that sign and posting it on their Facebook from the Wi-Fi free zone by their cellular signal, right? And
ironic,
appreciating the fact that it said Wi-Fi free. You know? So that's pretty cool. So what other trends are you guys seeing? What kind of, either whether they're challenges or their opportunities, are
what
you guys
seeing?
Seeing
coming into our market,
into our market,
California market?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just go real fast on the millennials. It's really the challenge that we have is to try to get them to spend money at the hotel while they're there.
Right.
And that's really the big piece is that we're really trying to work with. And, you know, trying to really, you know, have that lobby where it's a communal place. I mean, the last thing millennials want to do is sit in the room and watch TV. They just don't want to do that.
Right.
They want to be somewhere, you know, if they're by themselves or they're with a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it may be, they want to be outside of the room and talking to people, whether it's at my hotel or a different hotel or another restaurant. They want to be out. So you really want to make that lobby or somewhere in the hotel a really, you know, living room type experience so that they want to hang out. And it's a real big piece, you know, real big piece of hotels, I think, now. And you're seeing it all over the place. When you walk into a hotel, it really feels like you're at home.
But, Steve, do I see people talking to each other, or do I see people talking to each other through devices?
Well, it's a mixture of both.
Both.
but the key thing there is, if you know, you want to make sure that you have services for them so that you can actually spend some money.
Right.
Whether that may be, you know, whether that's bar, restaurant, you know, whatever services that you have at the hotel. One other piece that you're looking at too is, you know, the internet is such a big thing for millennials.
Sure.
Because they're going to bring in, you know, I talk to millennials all the time, and I do this myself. I bring my Apple TV with me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, when TV shows are on, I'm, you know, I work, you know, 16-hour days, whatever it is. I get back to the room. I don't want to flip through the channels all day long.
Right.
I plug in my Apple TV, watch whatever show that I was wanting to watch, and make sure that, you know, I have upgraded to the highest internet that you have. So a lot of hotels you're seeing now give you that free internet of whatever megabytes, but then you can pay an extra dollar amount to get higher speed internet so that you can actually stream things.
So you're having a harder time doing the traditional model of selling people on in-room movies, but you can basically entice them with a faster internet bandwidth.
Well, there's a couple of different reasons that is really nice. Is if you know, in a hotel, if the internet is a slower internet and it's free, great. You know, sometimes you might get hit on that on TripAdvisor, but if they have an option to pay $10 more, $7 more, wherever, you know, whatever the market is that'll actually dictate that, they sit there and go, okay, well, for me, I can stream whatever movie I want. I can have, you know, if it's me, my wife, my kids, we have four different iPads, we have a computer, we've got this, we're streaming something on, and everything's working in my room. Awesome. This is great. It feels like we're at home.
Right.
And if you don't have that, then all of a sudden, you know, the iPads are open. You can't use it. You can't watch a movie. You can't get on Facebook.
You're having negative experiences.
You can't connect. And what they're going to remember is that experience, not that you had beautiful beds, beautiful shower heads, beautiful everything else. You remember, man, we were in the room and we couldn't connect to the outside world.
And I'll tell you to the people that basically say that's crazy, that's not really, I mean, that's insane. We know it is, but it shouldn't be allowed or whatever. I'll give you a perfect example that has nothing to do with technology. You go to a restaurant. It's great. It's awesome. The food's fantastic. You just sat there for 2-3 hours, right? And then you go to the bathrooms. And the bathrooms weren't designed and dialed in to the same caliber as the restaurant.
Yeah.
And all you remember?
The bathrooms.
Yeah. Well, you know, like what Steve was saying, you know, it's like being at home, except with room service and maid service.
Right.
So, you know, it's a good thing to keep everybody in the family happy.
Well, I guess the interesting thing that I'm hearing is part of this constant technology, this hybriding of, you know, art and technology, is that's putting not necessarily pressure, but it's either putting us in a position where we have to reevaluate how some of the quantifiable, you know, revenue generating elements are within this environment that we call the hotel property.
That's going to be a pressure, and it's one we live with every day.
But it's also opportunity. Yeah, I'm saying,
I look at it more as an opportunity.
It's an opportunity to differentiate, I think, and offer a unique value proposition.
Absolutely, depending on where you're at, and you know what type of hotel you're running.
Okay,
you know, Bob's got branded properties, and they'll let him do certain things.
Uh-huh.
They won't let him take it a step beyond because it doesn't fit that box. Steve's got the same thing. All of ours are boutique or independent. So we can blow past that as you do, both you guys do with your independent boutique hotels. So that's part of the fun of being on that side. You know, we've got, you know, because of all the OTAs and everything else, we've got pretty much an equal playing field when it comes to getting a reservation at our hotel.
I told you before, you can't throw acronyms out unless you explain them on this show.
Yeah, and what Craig was doing was he was using the fact that I had said online travel agency and OTA before.
Thank you.
He was using that as a segue just go right to OTA.
Yeah, he was using that.
But that was before the break, Robert, so we have to reinforce it.
And that's something that Craig forgets.
Paul's giving me, you know, see, the baby boomer in the room is putting up his finger and thumb up.
But talking about that real fast, and especially with the millennials, I mean, you're going back to the technology, and you had mentioned the revenue management. Revenue management is such a big part now, because now it's not just getting reservations through your website or the OTAs. You have to have a mobile version. You have to have a tablet version. Yep. You have to have different versions, because at our hotels, we track what the different reservations are, and we get more reservations on the tablets and phones than we actually do online, because a lot of the couple of the hotels we have are literally right by the freeway, so they're driving by. Okay, hey, I'm going through this city. What hotels are there? Boom, go online, find it, and they're out.
Well, and that has a direct impact to your level of labor, right? I mean, where are you going to do you have two or three people on the phone lines? Do you have one person because of volume? The feed is changing. It's a very fascinating thing, and I think, especially when the expectation is, I expect a certain kind of and quality of service, and I've been coming to this property for the last 10 years. But what's happening behind the scenes is a completely different animal today, right? And since we are talking about California, and I know we kind of wanted to touch on this, is, Robert, California has a certain number of major markets, right, when it comes to this industry. And then there's sub-markets, obviously, for some maybe lesser or smaller destination, boutique kind of destinations.
For today's conversation, let's stick with the major markets.
Right.
Today, well, that data is something that we all have.
So what are the major markets in California? One, are there actually differences in how you position and market in those and customer relation expectations, I should say? And what are you seeing in those markets today?
Well, first of all, there are four major markets in California, unless you count Sacramento's kind of on the border.
Yeah.
The desert might be considered as a whole on the border. But the key markets, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, and Orange County. And you could look at Orange County as Anaheim Plus or however you want to look at it. Anaheim and San Diego, if you take those markets, you look at 2017, they're up markedly. The revenue per available room is up. The rates are up. And even the occupancy levels are up.
That's RevPAR, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
RevPAR, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, he's learning.
Because Craig's teaching you the acronyms now after we actually use the word.
I know nothing. Teach me.
Yeah. So, the guests are definitely coming to Anaheim and San Diego in abundance. San Francisco is only losing market share because the Moscone Center, which is their primary convention center, is closed for construction.
Right.
And the only reason Los Angeles looks bad on paper is the Porter Ranch gas leak just jumped occupancy up in 2016. Mm-hmm. So this year it looks like it's down.
Based on what? In relevance of less.
You're right about that. We've got two hotels in Studio City that we manage. And, they were doing great last year because of Porter Ranch. Now, we've also we've felt that pinch this year so far. But you know what? We're still running 90% occupancy at both these hotels.
So that's an interesting observation. How do you evaluate? Over what period of time do you evaluate when it comes to a property?
Well, and Steve can weigh in on this, but the barriers to entry in California are significant. And what that means to me as a developer, we just opened a hotel a couple months ago, is the market is very strong because new supply does not come in as rapidly as demand increases during good periods. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say good periods, we've had a pretty good run here, about 88 straight months, if we include August, which looks good already. 88 straight months of expansion in the hotel industry.
Right.
Now, will that last forever? Probably not. I'm giving it another 18 months of continued growth. Again, Steve, we could differ on that. We didn't talk about that before the show, but I think we got another 18 months left. That's 104 months.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the second largest ever. Mm-hmm. 111 is the record. So I think it's looking good.
Mm-hmm.
But the markets do crash during recessions, and they crash very badly for what we call fly markets, or markets where air is the only way to get there.
Mm-hmm. Are we as susceptible in the state of California to those economic conditions or market conditions as other places, or are we a little bit in better position because of our state draw?
The state draw is great because internationally, the flights to L.A. and San Francisco are, which then generates more business for Disneyland, Anaheim, and San Diego as well when it comes to L.A. The market's very strong internationally and domestically because you can drive from one city to the other in California.
Right.
We take care of ourselves.
Right.
So more vulnerable markets might be Orlando, Phoenix, even Chicago, because it's really hard to capture big cities driving to your market.
So those markets that you listed, San Diego, California, Los Angeles, Orange County, San Francisco, Do they all have an individual personality in how basically the hotel industry is presented?
Oh, I think so. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, San Francisco is its own beast.
Good choice of
words. I mean, it's different clientele, different everything, different expectations. I think they get for the guest as well. In the city of San Francisco, you can run a very significant size boutique property and do very well just because you just don't need that franchise up there. That you have that flexibility. When you look at San Diego, it's a different clientele. It's, you know, best weather in the United States. What do they call it? America City or whatever it may be?
It's America's finest city.
America's finest city, sorry. It's been a couple years since I lived down there, but, you know, San Diego is great because it's got a lot of tourism, but it's got a lot of military. It's got a lot of tech. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot of different demand generators in each of those areas. And then when you look at Orange County and you look at L.A., I'll do Orange County first. You got Disneyland. I mean, mm-hmm. Disneyland's on fire. I mean, their numbers are just through the roof, and they're going to add another hotel. And now they're going to do a Star Wars hotel, and they're going to build Star Wars Land. So those numbers are only going to increase.
Yeah.
And so even if we do go through a recession, I think that Anaheim's going to do. They're going to go through that pretty well. Even though there's been a lot of new properties that have gone in that market.
Right.
And then, you know, last is downtown L.A. I mean, just L.A. in general, but, you know, downtown L.A. especially. I mean, you look at the numbers, and, yeah, the occupancy's down a little bit, ADR's down a little bit, but you just had 2,000 rooms came in the market in the last,
4 months.
Yeah. I mean, so, of course it's going to go down, but all those hotels that just came in the market, whether it's the Intercon, the Hotel Indigo, what am I missing?
All those Marriotts that just opened.
The Marriotts. Down. You got the Waldorf Astoria over there in Beverly Hilton, which I used to work there at the Beverly Hilton. All those properties are just, I mean, they're doing amazing numbers right out of the gate because the market's so strong.
Well, you look at two of the properties you mentioned, the Indigo Downtown and the Intercon. I mean, between the two of them, you got about 1,300 rooms just between those two hotels. Now, you throw in the Waldorf in Beverly Hills, how many rooms was that? Seven?
I think it's a little over seven.
So, you know, Los Angeles is the third busiest construction market for hotel products in the nation.
And that whole downtown area had been so depressed and sort of neglected for so long, other than that whole area around Staples. But then it starts starting to ripple out, seriously ripple out, and, you know, positive and negative impacts on those neighborhoods. But it is amazing. I think, you know, Robert, you mentioned it, and I've been around California long enough to see a couple of real estate market crashes, and I think we may have finally learned, at least for the time being, to not outpace demand in terms of construction.
You'd like to think so.
See, I fed you guys the line. I was fishing. Have we learned? Are we going to just get on this boom to the point where basically we're going to a glut? I mean, commercial real estate is a glut right now, right? Retail is going out. Mm-hmm. You know, malls, there was a projection that one out of four malls in the United States is going to be out of business and basically mothballed by 2024.
Right? Good. We can build more college campuses.
That's what we were talking about, repurposing underperforming properties.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is there a risk in the hotel industry for that to happen?
And Bob, please correct me if I'm wrong, but this cycle compared to the last one, we had a lot more full service and destination resorts with Terranea under construction. They only got one draw from their construction lender, and then their bank went out during the meltdown. We're seeing a lot more select service this cycle. You're seeing a few more boutiques. Now, the Intercontinental, that was Korean Air parking money. You know, it's an office building. The hotel starts on the 70th floor. Great views. Mm-hmm. Steve and I were up there, 2 days after it opened. So, yeah, it's hard to say if we've learned or not. We're not a vertical market like San Francisco, as much as certain parts
would like
of
to think
Southern
so.
California think so.
Yeah.
The gas lamp, you know, they built all these condos, and it turned into a huge rental pool.
Right.
They had a better than 55% rental factor in all those new buildings for apartments. So a hotel-enhanced mixed-use property, does that work here? Not so much. Not yet. In San Francisco, absolutely. But I'm little afraid that we're getting too much on the select service.
So gloom and doomer.
Craig. Okay. I'm just back. Okay. I'm happy.
All
Come
right.
on.
Okay. But let's end on a positive note. What are some of the things that you guys are excited about that you see happening? Robert, do you want to go?
Sure. I mean, I'm really big on the trends that are technology-oriented right now. I mean, we're doing some of the things that we're really liking, and we do trends. Every December, we put out the RER Hospitality 10 top trends, and the top two for us were text and chat, which we use a firm called Zingle to communicate with the guests like we were talking about before, and perhaps most importantly, artificial intelligence in the form of robots. So we have a robot at our Marriott hotel, and Marriott has no problem with us having it there, and the robot provides service by delivering to your room. It actually communicates with our guests. The guests love the robot. We're able to keep our night auditor at the front desk when we ship goods to rooms in the middle of the night. Nobody has to leave that front desk. The robot leaves, and the robot delivers, and robotics is going to be huge. The real area that I'm looking to use robotics, Rad, is going to be in housekeeping, and I'll tell you why. Workman's comp claims are in abundance for vacuuming rooms. Our housekeepers work their buns off, and then the biggest claim that they have in workman's comp is their backs
bending
due
over
to
for vacuuming.
Vacuuming. So I think if we...
Fascinating.
Get robots to do the vacuuming.
Yeah.
We will speed up the room, and technically we may displace certain jobs. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this, having to retrain.
Well, so you're probably getting pushback on some fronts in terms of jobs, right?
Well, probably is the wrong word. I mean, the unions. You're right. We're getting pushback. We're not ending jobs for anybody. What we're doing is repurposing where people are going to have to be trained, and we're willing to train them.
Right.
We'll educate them. We'll train them. We want to keep our people, but there are jobs that are mundane, and those tasks, especially if they're dangerous in any way, should be replaced by robotics.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's a great point. And the reason I kind of push you in that direction to talk about it is because we always worry about losing what we have. But in fact, with retraining, you're actually providing better opportunity for some of these people and basically putting them out of range of possible harm.
Right.
So it's actually a win-win, and it also has a positive impact on your costs.
Better pay for them, better productivity for us.
What, Paul's got something?
I just want to throw in one little cross-promotion for one of our shows here at OC Talk Radio. We just started with a group called Octane that focuses on innovation and technology here in Orange County. It's partly a private thing, partly a publicly funded, state-funded organization. All these big companies belong to it. They do a thing called Octane's Coffee at the Cove coming up on August 8th.
Mm-hmm. At UCI.
At UCI's Innovation Center. And the topic is somebody who's created a massage robot.
Wow.
I'm going through that because I can already hear the ripples through the spa industry.
Wow. You. Honest to God, they were in here talking about it. These are guys that had worked in robotics and AI, and they saw a need, and they've actually created a lifelike robot that you can program.
You know,
to
we could take this conversation in so many wrong ways.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I don't think we have enough time for that.
I'm leaving that one for another show.
I'm just telling you, that's today. You can go see this robot on August 8th and evaluate it for yourself.
But you know, when Robert was talking about the workman's comp and people being injured vacuuming, okay, similar to that as an example in the spa industry are all the pedicurists that basically work at pedicure stations. They're bent down. You have downtime. Even if they're not, filing workman's comp claims, they're out of work. You got to restaff. You know, all this stuff. So I am all for this because I think as long as the commitment is to also give these people that are human beings that are employed opportunities elsewhere, I think that's wonderful. And, you know, Steve, what about you? What are some of the stuff that you...
No, I agree with you. I think that's definitely one of them. But, you know, I think what I'm really looking for is just technology itself. I mean, we have a separate company, which is a technology company. And, you know, in hotels, we're always looking at ways to cut expenses. And one of the biggest expenses you could have at a hotel is
energy. What's the company?
It's called Crew Global Innovations. But what we're trying to do is we're taking... I think, you know, whether it's us or other companies out there, you're going to be able to take hotels off the grid. And, you know, the next 3, 4, 5 years, the hotels will be completely off the grid where you have solar technology and battery power. I mean, you have Tesla doing it in homes now. And with that technology, you're going to have the same type of technology in all commercials, especially in hotels, which is going to be absolutely huge for the cost savings for the hotels.
You know, you guys are scaring the living daylights out of utility companies, right?
No, we're not at all.
But I mean,
they're going to buy him out, and he's going to be the next bazillionaire.
Actually, the utility companies will probably be the investors, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So just like insurance companies used to be. So the thing that's interesting about that, though, is I think that you don't really have a choice. I mean, in a way, your guest is expectations is that you are more environmentally.
You want every hotel is going to be LEED certified, so you're going to have all these different LEED certifications, and you know, especially if you have a boutique hotel these days, and if you're not LEED certified, I mean, there's a huge number of clientele out there that will not go to your hotel because of it.
Federal government,
which by the way is an incredibly expensive commitment.
Yeah, it is,
to be doing that certification while you're doing construction or remodel, because you have to document everything, you have to get make sure that it's quantifiable, et cetera, et cetera. It's not just an easy kind of like let's just paint it with a green brush, so to speak. In fact, I saw an article today that was talking about that in the future being green is not going to be enough, and they actually presented it as being that you have to be blue. And I'm thinking, what the heck is blue, right? My mind went all over the place. And then it turns out that blue...
Tie it?
No, I was thinking...
High blue, there you go.
And do we have to...
No, I went a lot darker than that.
Do we have to explain the acronym? LEED? LEED is Leadership in Energy and Environmental
Paul's
Design. It's one of the most popular green building certification programs used worldwide, developed by the nonprofit U.S. Green Building Council.
Yes, we will not throw out any acronyms we will not describe on the show.
We're using that at our hotel up in Menlo Park, too.
There you go.
So, right, and I think people's expectations is that you are sensitive, you are committed, you are vested in the community, you're vested in the environment. But what this was interesting is we are now talking about not enough to just be green. Not enough to not have a footprint. Not enough to be basically off-grid. Now what it is they're saying that the future is to be blue, which is to actually positively impact the environment.
Right.
That's repurposing wetlands. That's incorporating, you know.
We have to have a federal government that supports that and an EPA.
Oh, don't get started.
You know what? I'll tell you something. Yes, we do. If that's where the leadership stimulation comes from. However,
if it's top down instead of bottom up.
I think the reality is because, you know, years ago it was like, oh, solar panels. Right. And then, we had incentivizations by certain companies, whatever, for solar panels, right? But it has become such a mainstream thing that if you say no to solar panels, like a potential new client of mine said that yesterday when I like a remodel. We, all three of us, including the general contractor, looked at them like, wow, what's wrong with you? Right? Well, the expectations have changed. So I think it's chicken or the egg. But it was interesting that we're no longer even talking about just being green.
Yeah.
But actually to be really beyond. A vested interest in the betterment of the environment.
Well, and that's the way it's got. I mean, I've been singing that song for over a decade now with hospitality. The expense of water and power and trash and laundry. I mean, laundry is another one where we have huge amounts of workman's comp claims as well.
Well, the stuff that is the byproduct of things. I mean, one of my clients is Juice It Up, and we talked forever. And unfortunately, with the health department, there's restrictions. But you know, when you actually juice something, the bulk of the benefit is in the roughage that you basically just throw down. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you can basically repurpose that, and you would do it at home in 2 seconds into veggie patties or things of that nature, that you can then turn around and it's all farm to table to now nothing, zero waste, whatever. Right. Not only is that an appeal and a brand differentiator, but it also is something that has a positive impact on your cost.
Yeah. Absolutely.
As appealing as all this is, we got to wrap it up. We're going to go dark, not blue. So.
Okay, well, I got to say one thing before we sign off.
Peel like a banana in a juice shop? Okay.
I got to say one thing. 45 years ago, a very good friend of mine and a woman that I owe a lot to started her career at a company called American Title Company. Her and I both went to work there within about 30 days of one another. Mm-hmm. I bounced around. She stayed there her entire career. She, Diane Tringali, congratulations, and you are responsible for me being on the air, because if you didn't let me switch my career path to hospitality, I'd be selling T-shirts at the Ala Moana Shopping Center in Hawaii out of a kiosk. So,
and we're
happy anniversary, and thank you, Diane Tringali.
I thank you for him being here, because it makes the show very fun. And happy anniversary. You guys want to give out your contact information before we go off?
How's like,
how
reach people, all
how
of
Hotel Guru. RARHospitality.com.
Well, HotelGuru.com for me and RARHospitality.com for our 20 hotels.
Very cool.
And do they have to climb a mountain to find the guru, or can they find him online here, too?
No, the guru's right here.
You take a very quiet elevator. Steve?
And then Crew Real Estate Group, Crew, REG.com, and...
spell Crew.
Crew, C-R-U. R-E-G.com.
See, I'm glad I would have spelled it differently.
C-R-E-W, yeah, Crew, it's right? Like the root of a wine, you know?
Good,
C-R-U.
Crew-E-Bourgeois.
Crew
Bourgeois.
Exactly.
Okay. There you have it.
And I think we'll just go open up.
Company, Rod?
Rod Gantus and Associates, and you can find us at Rod, R-A-A-D, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S.com. Thanks for reminding me. I always forget.
And you can find me at BroughtonHotels.com.
Spell Broughton.
B-R-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. And you can also reach me at Sully@BroughtonHotels.com.
And when's the next conference?
Next conference for the California Lodging Investment Conference is March 8th at the Hilton Irvine Orange County Airport.
2018 for those listening later.
Bob Roush and RAR is the sponsor, and Steve Saft and Crew is the sponsor as well. So
you get to
meet him in person.
There you go.
You get to hang out with all of us. We're all going to be there. As always, thank
Bob's
you.
Bob's writing a book, so we want to. You want to get an autographed copy of Bob's book?
Now, I didn't know that. But
he may not be writing it for a few more years.
You're writing
but he's
a book.
Writing a book.
Yes, he'll give you the autograph now, and then you can collect the book later.
That's the book. It's an autograph.
Just a little piece of paper.
It's
you
an
can
autograph
glue it on
book.
The side.
Give Bob $35. He'll give you the autograph with an IOU for the book.
See how much fun is this? Do you want to miss this conference? Heck no! You got to go basically and register now. But and give the website again.
CLIconference.com.
Okay, go register now. As always, please let us know what you think of the show. If you have any topics that you want us to focus on, it's all about California hospitality. This is your key to California hospitality. Check out California. Join us again in 2 weeks. Love you
guys.
Thank you so much for your time.